All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran with your morning drive at 6. It is Friday, which means Fly Jams Friday. And all of the other Friday features, Straight Outta Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all coming up. We're going to talk about the origins of some great board games, some classic board games. Right now, though, we want to welcome to the show. She was on about a year and a half ago talking about a film called The Empowerment Project, which was screened on WTTW. She's originally from here, from Chicago, and she has a new movie. She's the director of Losing Sight of Shore. It's an incredible movie that follows the journey of four women called the Coxless Crew as they rowed from America to Australia 8,000 miles rowing. And the film is streaming right now on Netflix, and you should definitely check it out. And there's a website called losingsightofshore.com, but we have a link on our Facebook page for all of that. Her name is Sarah Moshman, and we want to welcome Sarah back to the show. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Nick. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. So glad to be on the show.
Listen, congratulations on this movie. My God, what a feat, what an accomplishment, really.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't on the boat with these incredible women, but I feel like I crossed my own Pacific, so we're very excited.
Yeah, and I want to tell. We're going to get into the film for sure, and man, how you got the footage you got, and how it was made and everything. But let's talk about your background. Tell everybody about your background and how you got into filmmaking.
Yeah, so grew up in Evanston, and my dad, Harvey Moshman, is a filmmaker and TV producer in Chicago. So it's just kind of always been ingrained in me and around.
Yeah.
And went to film school, moved out to L.A., worked in reality TV for a while, and then kind of dropped everything to make my own project. And The Empowerment Project was my first feature doc, and Losing Sight of Shore is my second.
And let's talk a little bit about working on reality shows. I think we talked about this the last time you were with us. Tell us a little bit about what goes into that.
Yeah, I mean, every reality show is very different. I worked on Dancing with the Stars for 10 seasons as a field producer, so out in the field interviewing and shooting with the celebrity dancer couples. You know, it's long hours. It's certainly not glamorous most of the time.
Yeah.
But the skills in reality really complement documentary filmmaking because you just have to be ready for anything and find story and be able to craft that story quickly and efficiently. So, and I'm really glad I had that experience.
Yeah. And if when you're working on some reality shows, it does help out so that you're like the experience that you had working on these reality shows did help you as a documentary filmmaker.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's one and the same, just picking up a camera, finding story, asking the right question at the right time in the moment when someone's feeling some kind of emotion and then being able to craft that together and relay that to an audience.
Yeah. And, you worked on Wild Chicago while you spent time here.
I didn't work on it. I have a deep admiration for my father, who produced the show for more than 12 years.
Yeah.
So I have a couple cameos.
Okay. Well, your dad did a great job on that show. I love Wild Chicago.
Yes.
Wild Chicago is just one of the best shows.
Yeah, and he's got a new show, Wild Travels, which is the same spirit, but a more broad scope. Yeah,
very, very cool. Your last film, which we talked about, is The Empowerment Project. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that film is a feature-length documentary as well about five female filmmakers, myself included. We got in a minivan and drove across the U.S. and interviewed inspirational female leaders from all different industries, from like a pilot to an athlete, astronaut, mathematician. You name it, we covered it. And with the last 3 years or so, we've been showing that film in schools and organizations and corporations and starting really important conversations about gender equality and not being afraid to fail. It's been really impactful in my life, and I'm really grateful for it.
And your two short documentaries that you did were also about female empowerment. You did a doc called Girls Rock and Growing Up Strong, Girls on the Run. Tell me about those.
You're noticing a theme here.
Yeah.
Both of those were amazing as well. You know, one was about an all-girls rock and roll camp that is in Chicago but also international called Girls Rock, and we followed around these bands ages 8 to 16 where they learn guitar, bass, and drums within a week. It's a super rad camp for girls. And then Growing Up Strong, Girls on the Run, we were awarded a Chicago Midwest Emmy, which we're really happy about, and that film is about the incredible program Girls on the Run, which also has a Chicago chapter but is international. and encourages girls to build self-esteem while training for a 5K event.
Wow.
The theme here is strong female characters, you know, stories about women that can uplift and inspire.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this. You know, the subjects of the documentaries that you've done in the past, do you keep up with them? Do you follow up on their stories?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're all, you know, social media makes it really easy to stay connected with people. And definitely, yeah, it's been great.
Yeah. And what are there some really fun, like in the Girls Rock documentary, have any of these girls gone on to, to form bands or be semi-successful?
No, that's a great question. I should follow up more closely. A couple of them, certainly, I'm friends with on Facebook that were in these bands, and it seems like they're still writing music and taking part. But I should pay closer attention to that.
Well, you've been a little busy, Sarah. You've been a little busy with this little movie called Losing Sight of Shore, and I want to talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
But you know, since we're talking about female empowerment, you're a female filmmaker. I'm assuming you're thrilled by the success and the critical acclaim of Wonder Woman.
I can't tell you how exciting it was to watch Wonder Woman. I cried, I cheered, I laughed, I sat with my friends on opening night.
Yep.
Honestly, it was just exciting to take part in opening weekend and then to see the box office numbers be so, you know, monumental, and to feel like, it felt like I voted, you know, like you really vote with your dollar.
Yeah.
Sure, I mean, that's all we have as consumers. You have to vote with your dollar and your remote, and it felt really amazing to vote with my dollar and take part in this really monumental moment for Patty Jenkins, for Wonder Woman, for female directors everywhere.
I got to say, you know, they were projecting that the movie was going to make $65-75 million you know, before opening weekend. The problem was that the DC movies up until now have been really bad.
I don't even watch them.
They're terrible. The one, don't worry. Yeah, the Batman versus Superman and the Suicide Squad. They're all really bad and really.
They're certainly not marketed for me. So
no, and they're dark and what you know. And this movie is completely the opposite of that. And as we got closer to the opening date, I'm like, you guys, this movie's gonna you know. And I hear women in you know I'm talking to women. And, you know, communicating with women and like we're going out Friday. A ton of us are going. And then, you know, I saw it on the Saturday of opening weekend. And I went on Saturday. The place was packed. There were tons of little girls. They were all wearing Wonder Woman T-shirts.
It was just to be
in that room with all of those women going nuts over this movie. It was really special.
Shows you how rare it is, isn't it? I mean, it's wonderful, but isn't it also a little sad? Like,
yeah.
That's how few movies there are that actually speak to this audience that is massive.
Yeah.
So I hope this is just a big symbol for what's hopefully to come. You know, more films like this, superheroes or not, but just strong female characters women can actually identify with,
I got to tell you, Sarah, I think that this movie is a game changer. I really do. The success of it, the quality of it, I really think we're going to see more. And, you know, just coming down the pike here in August, Catherine Bigelow's got a new movie coming out about the Detroit riots.
That's right. Yeah, she's amazing, obviously.
Yeah,
that'll be great.
Yeah, so I think this is a game changer, and I really think it's going to stomp The Mummy this weekend. I really do.
I don't even care that The Mummy's coming out. I mean, it's not even a movie that I would put on my list. So I'll go see Wonder Woman again. I'll give them
right.
my money again.
Well, I think that's what's going to happen. I'm glad you said. Did you have a favorite moment? Because everybody, you know, everybody I've talked to, especially women, there were one or two moments that really stood out for them. Did you have one?
I really just love the beginning. I mean, the concept of an island that's completely comprised of Amazonian strong warrior women and there's zero men. I don't know, something about that was just so thrilling to watch. And her whole dynamic with Chris Pine and their kind of funny banter back and forth.
Right.
I just loved it.
I also want to mention how kick-ass Robin Wright is in it.
Oh my goodness.
Oh.
Princess Bride grows up and becomes this warrior.
Yeah.
So cool.
Fantastic. It was fantastic. I really love it. Well, I'm glad. I had to ask you about it, considering the subject matter of your work.
Yes, speaking of real life Wonder Women.
Yeah, absolutely right. And so, Losing Sight of Shore is your latest feature length documentary. It is now streaming on Netflix. Congratulations on that. How did you get Netflix to get it?
It's been such a dream come true. I was able to team up with a sales agent who has the right relationship and. For, you know, step one, make a good movie. So that's hard enough. And then step two, find the right person to help you get it out to the right platforms. And it really all aligns. So I'm very grateful. And Netflix is always at the top of my list. And now it's in 190 countries and subtitled in 25 languages. It's really been overwhelming.
That's fantastic. And it's amazing how, influential and huge Netflix has become.
Right? It's ubiquitous.
It's incredible. I mean, it's you remember when it was just a mail order place?
I do.
You get your little DVDs in the mail, and now it's...
Which, by the way, you can still do.
Yeah.
Who knew?
So it's available on Netflix now, Losing Sight of Shore. We'll get into the details on it, but tell me how the project came to you or how you discovered the project.
Yeah, so because of the Empowerment Project, my first feature, I did a lot of interviews and blogs and things like that. And this amazing blogger in the UK, her name's Fiona Tatton, she runs like a magazine blog series called Womanthology. And she had just come across the Coxless crew, two women on the crew, Natalia and Laura. And so honestly, this was just an email in late January 2015 that said, "Hey, Sarah, I thought you might want to connect with these women. They're about to row the Pacific Ocean." And I remember reading that email and being really busy that day. And I was about to leave town for 2 months. I mean, it was like so not the moment for me to take on a new project. And I had no expectation. I agreed to Skype with two of the rowers, honestly, just to recommend a camera for them to use. Like, I was not planning on anything. And within, you know, an hour of Skyping with these two women, Laura and Natalia, I was just blown away because this was so clear. It was never about rowing at all. It was about the power of the human spirit. And that really spoke to me. And I desperately wanted to help them tell their stories. So I did.
Great. All right.
And then 2 short months later, they're setting off. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to get that adventure coming up, but we got to take a break. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Hang on a second. Sarah Moshman is with us. And she is the director of the documentary Losing Sight of Shore, which follows an incredible journey of four women as they row from America to Australia over 8,000 miles. It's really incredible. And so is the movie. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more with Sarah right here on 720 WGN. All right. Morning, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? It's Friday. That means all of our regular Friday features will be coming up. Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, and You Big Dummy, and more. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text, 312-981-7200. You can follow us on Twitter, at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. My guest right now is Sarah Moshman. She is the director of the new documentary, Losing Sight of Shore, an incredible film about the journey of these four women as they row from America to Australia. The film is now streaming on Netflix, and you should put it on your queue and watch it. We have the director of that movie with us, and we welcome Sarah back. Sarah, welcome back.
Thanks.
Well, first of all, tell us about these incredible four women. You got Natalia, you got Laura, Emma, and Meg. Tell me about them.
Yeah, so it's interesting. The crew began as four women, Natalia, Laura, Emma, and Izzy. But what ended up happening, and this doesn't give anything away in the film really, but three of the women, Natalia, Laura, and Emma, ended up rowing the entire journey. And then sort of one seat was rotating on the boat. So one woman did one leg, the second leg, third leg. So in total, there are six women, only four on the boat at a time, just so we're clear on what it means for the Coxless crew. They are not professional rowers, not professional athletes. They certainly trained for this expedition mentally and physically. But I think that's what attracted me to the story as well, is they were, you know, working hard to accomplish something that was so outside their comfort zone. They have not been rowing their whole lives. And they're very different from each other, different personalities, different strengths. And really the cohesion of the team is what made them able to be so successful.
Well, that's what's so apparent in the film, is that these are four, you know, three in the rotating film, three and four different kinds of women who have to come together in order to accomplish this incredible feat. And originally, what they wanted to do was they wanted to raise awareness for two different charities and raise some money. Correct?
Yeah, they were rowing for breast cancer care as well as Walking with the Wounded, two UK-based charities that support women. And they did end up raising a lot of money for those charities. And that's why the boat is pink, because it was for breast cancer. But that wasn't the main focus of why they wanted to take the journey. It was really to challenge themselves, to prove what they were capable of, and to test the strength of their human spirit.
Yeah. And that is kind of your motivation for making the film, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, I certainly saw a lot of myself in them. I think even though I'm not a rower and not an athlete by any stretch of the imagination, I felt like we had so much in common. And, you know, being a filmmaker in Hollywood certainly has a lot of similarities, having to sort of fight your way through something and, you know, leave your comfort zone. So I felt like there were so many universal truths in the making of the film.
Yeah. Tell me how you shot it. I mean, it's very impressive, you know, and this is not an easy thing to shoot. You know, a lot of filmmakers will tell you this. A lot of directors who have ever worked on the water or on the ocean will tell you it ain't easy.
Yes, it's certainly unpredictable. So basically, there was no support boat. They were completely alone out there in the Pacific Ocean. And so even if I had wanted to go with them, which I didn't, I wouldn't have been able to go. So I bought them cameras and I taught them how to use those cameras and really wanted to empower them to think and act like storytellers while they were out at sea. I also gave them hard drives and microphones so they were fully self-sufficient on the water, although that was very scary for me as the director to sort of watch them row away with all of the tools and not having any idea if I'd have a movie on the other end of it. My bank account and I were certainly very scared. But the silver lining is that I was able to meet them on land along the way. So it was quite an adventure for me, even though I didn't, you know, row the ocean. I was there in San Francisco from where they left, Santa Barbara, where they have an emergency stop, Hawaii, Samoa, and then for the big finish in Australia. And every time they were within about, let's say, 6 to 12 hours of land, I would go out on a boat with their shore support, Tony Humphreys, and we would go out and find this pink dot on the horizon. And we would go and meet them at sea, and it was the most incredible experience seeing this tiny pink boat in this massive ocean out there actually making it happen. Like, you forget, they rowed 24 hours a day, 2 hours on, 2 hours off, without fail for 9 months. And so I would go out and meet them with drone photography and be able to capture that aerial view of the boat in the ocean. And then I would be with them on land for about a week or 10 days. As they would restock their boat and clean their boat and kind of figure out how to have best performance for the next leg.
You know, you mentioned once again, 24 hours a day, 2 hours on, 2 hours off for 9 months. I mean, just think about that. That's absolutely crazy.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah. I mean, just
I still can't really wrap my head around it. And I watched all the footage, all 9 months of footage, and I still can't understand how they were able to mentally get through that.
It is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And so, talk a little bit about how they got rest, how they slept.
Yeah. So what they did is called a polyphasic sleeping pattern. So typically for us normal humans, we have a monophasic sleeping pattern. You go to bed for hopefully 6 to 8 hours a night, if you're lucky. For them, polyphasic means that they did get a full sleep cycle within about 90 minutes every time they slept. So they're rowing a total of about 12 hours a day, and they're resting or, you know, doing the jobs that they have on the boat for the other 12 hours, or filming, if I was lucky. So that was their whole day. And honestly, after a while, it seemed to be a pretty beautiful existence. They didn't have much to think about. They didn't have to worry about parking or bills or dealing with other people, really. Yeah. They only had each other out there, and they were totally isolated. And in a lot of ways, they felt more free, whereas most of us would think about that scenario as our worst nightmare.
Yeah.
And they felt so liberated.
And all of you guys, especially the women who did the rowing, are going to be connected forever to this.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Their bond is really, you know, so strong. I was just with them. We did a whole world tour. We showed the film in the U.S., U.K., and South Africa. And their bond is still so strong, and I feel so connected to them.
Yeah.
You know, although I wasn't on the boat, I really had this front row seat to the whole journey, and it was really special.
Well, it's an astonishing movie, Sarah, and an incredible accomplishment. Congratulations to you, because it's really
great.
Thank you. And really quickly before you let me go, before we let you go, how difficult was it to edit it down?
Actually, not so bad. You'd be surprised. I mean, the hardest part of this whole project was wondering if they were going to make it and when they were going to make it. I mean, I can't tell you how many things had to go right, even though so many things did go wrong.
Yeah.
For me to even be having this conversation with you right now. So I think post-production was really enjoyable. I had a wonderful editor named Peter Seraphim, and the two of us talked about the philosophy of how we wanted people to feel and how it's not about a film about rowing at all.
Yeah.
So it wasn't so difficult getting to know them so well on land and being able to pick out the arc of each one of their stories. Mm-hmm. Once that was clear, it was a linear journey. It really had kind of a three-act structure, and I don't know. I mean, it took a while, but yeah. It certainly was an enjoyable experience putting it together after such a hard journey.
Well, the result is great, Sarah. Congratulations, seriously. And what are you working on next? Anything?
I'm trying to get several projects off the ground. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, please do. Always. Please come back on the show anytime. Okay, Sarah?
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Sarah Moshman, everybody, former Chicagoan, the director of Losing Sight of Shore, an extraordinary documentary. You really have to see it. It's streaming now on Netflix, Losing Sight of Shore. Put it on your queue and watch it. It's really terrific. All right, we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up next right here on 720 WGN.